ever wanted to do, pretty much. So it's like, it's not like I'm getting all this money and I have to live an extravagant life and try to do all these things that I've never been able to do. Well, I'm good, you know, and this is a generational thing. This is for my family and this is for the future of our families, and that's just kind of where I'm looking at it. So nothing's really going to change on my end other than just being, you know, more comfortable, having that security and being able to maneuver in certain ways and just kind of being able to open up and be myself a little bit more.
Good to hear the voice of Freddie Van Vliet. Dinner's on him.
Own backdrop when I do my next Zoom meetings. What do you think of the BOY bet on yourself kind of branding he's got going? He's got lots of stuff. He's got the FV.
Well, he's got the logo. FVV, and that's kind of like the first thing I thought of when I saw that. That's the font that the Virginia Tech. Michael Vick, right?
You are right.
Like the Virginia Tech Hokies use for football and basketball. So that's what hit me first and foremost. I love it, man. Personal branding. He's going to make $85 million over the next 4 years if he lives out the contract with the Raptors. And he's going to make more off the court.
Yeah.
He's such a great story. It's easily sellable.
Oh, yeah, for sure. When he has other superstars in the league that back him, I think that's big for a player when you do get that respect, not just from your team, but I think KD, what did KD say? He's like, this guy is a player. He's a warrior. He's, you know, he fights for everything out there. I have a lot of respect for him. So when you get stuff like that from some of the big guys in the league, I think that helps. But for branding, and when you go out in, you know, he's got his own clothing company, and I think that's the window's so short that you need to do that kind of stuff. And if you just say, well, I'll do that someday, I mean, 4 years can come and go. If he doesn't meet, you know what I mean? It's tough. And he could start it's tough to start that if you don't play well. And when you sign your big deal, everyone's talking about you. This is a time where you can really capitalize on that. So, you know, good for him doing that. And I'm sure he's got a team, and wish I would have started my own clothing brand.
Well, we can get into that in just a second, but you made a really good point. When you sign that big deal, everybody's talking about you, Ziggy, and there's no question that there will be periods of time in this coming season and the years that follow where Freddie struggles a little bit and the Raptors, they drop a few in a row, right? And you are going to come out guns a-blazing. And Freddie, well, he doesn't want to hear it.
I want to give a thanks to you ugly media people on the other side of the Zoom call who have treated me pretty good in my first 4 years. And, you know, now that I got a nice big contract, don't start on me because I make some good money now. So keep it up. Let's keep our good relationship going.
First off, were you there for the Zoom call? Who was he talking about?
I think he was honed right in on you. He was getting out in front of any possible problems.
Yeah. I mean, he's right, but I think he has to realize that now that he's making the big bucks, people are going to expect more of him, are they not?
Well, I think he's kidding, right? I mean, he will take, like any other athlete, he'll take exception to things that he doesn't think are fair over the next few years. But I think in that moment, he's kidding, saying, hey, like, we're got a pretty good rapport, da-da-da-da-da, like, let's keep that up. Thing is, truth of the matter is, the change is well underway. I mean, this was Kyle's team and Kawhi's team in the championship run, right? Freddie was there, Pascal was there, but those were the two guys who led the charge. And now you got Kyle entering the final year of his deal. You got the two bigs in Ibaka and Gasol who are gone. Pascal's large money deal, the max deal, is kicking in, and Freddie's now making 20 plus a year. Like, the way the money is apportioned has now significantly changed. on his basketball team, right? Marc Gasol was making 20 or whatever he was making last year. Like, so the responsibility to carry the load is now firmly in the laps of Pascal and Fred and Kyle for as long as Kyle continues to be a Raptor.
Yeah, the pressure is on him now. We talk about if he goes to another team and signs a big contract, how much tougher that would be on Fred if he was a number one. But, you know, signing a big deal like that here, I think it's going to be a lot on him. I think it's something he can handle. But this team is going to be, you know, there's question marks. Well, are they committed to success, right? What have they gone out? Who have they gone out and signed this year? Do they want to handcuff themselves for future years, especially next year when all the big names are, you know, available? I believe when you have a guy like Nick Nurse, I think he can make Fred into one of the best guards in the league. I think he can make, you know, Boucher into something more than he is right now. I think he could stretch out Kyle's years if he decides to stay here longer. I think Nick Nurse can do that. I think they can be successful with who they have right now. Obviously, they're done. They're not signing anyone else. We said they might add another center. They added Len, right? So I think this team can be good next year. I'm a little concerned about how good Miami got in a hurry. How much better Philly got?
Milwaukee's
going to be in. Yeah, they're going to be in the mix again. I mean, they weren't good in the bubble, but I think if you have Giannis, anything's possible.
And you got Brooklyn too, Zig. Right? I mean, KD and Kyrie are going to be there. What if they get Harden?
Kyrie are there. So, yeah, is a top four finish. I mean, if you had question marks about them last year, I think you really have question marks this year. So. But with Nick Nurse, I mean, these players, they've created a culture and they've won. And you can say that, okay, well, that was 2 years ago. What about now? Who they've signed? We've lost Kawhi. We've lost Ibaka. We've lost Gasol. We've lost all the Kawhi. It doesn't matter. They've won. They know what it takes to get there. And that matters. And that matters for Kyle Lowry, matters for Fred Van Vliet. It's especially good for the young guys coming up. The 905 players. I know some of the guys didn't play, but just being there and seeing what it takes, and they've played with guys on the bench that have been there all year. All of that matters. So I'm curious to see how the minutes are going to be spread out between, you know, Kyle and Fred. And if they decide, I don't even know, like, who would they're going to need another guard, right?
I mean, well, they can be on the floor at the same time. I mean, that's,
yeah,
that's
they can fun. Be on the floor, but who else is going to come in and take the minutes? That's the next thing. I think, didn't Fred make some kind of joke about towards their first pick?
Malachi Flynn. Yeah.
Saying, well, he better come in and play some minutes because me and Kyle can't do it all ourselves. So, you know, I always kind of joking around. That's a lot for, you know, a guy that just got drafted and now he's getting called up by the guy just signed the big contract. So, I mean, it's all in good fun. And, you know, it's good to see, you know, you get shout outs from guys on your team, and Fred's a leader now. I mean, I don't think he's going to go through a transformation this year. I think he's got the personality. He's got the mindset, the work ethic. He's going to go through, you know, one of those things where he's a guy that was that feel good story. The guy undrafted, no one wanted him, came up, earned his spot with an NBA team, and then came to be one of the most dominant players on those team and a big reason, you know, why they won a championship. So this year he signs his contract, he's getting his money. But I really think there's going to be a bigger leadership role for Fred to get into. How he does that, how he develops into that role, I think it's going to be a lot of work and a lot more pressure on him. You know,
things don't get easier.
I do think
his personality is perfect for it, though. I mean, it seems like his natural personality is perfect for it. And then on top of that, he's got his own experiences. He was talking about how you never forget. You fly into a city for a pre-draft workout, and there isn't even anyone waiting at the airport to drive you to the gym. Drive you to a team's facilities. It's like, hey, pal, jump in a cab. Here's the address.
And I know that's something tough.
Top three overall pick ain't getting that lack of treatment. You know that.
Well, right? I just going to tell you, I had to drive around the city for some interviews before the NHL draft, and there was no cab or taxi to pick me up. A couple of them, friends and agents at the time were saying, well, just get them. They'll reimburse you. Like, send them a receipt. I'm like, send them a receipt for what? Driving an hour to the west end of the city or an hour and a half through traffic in midday?
How much were the taxi tabs?
Yeah, exactly. But that's brutal. Not getting a lift to the workouts, but yeah. I just, for Fred, it's not going to be, and I think he knows this, it doesn't get easier. It's not a sign my contract and I'm just going to put my feet up and I deserve this money.
No, and I think that's why he made that comment. Don't crap on me when things don't go well. I think he's getting out front of it with a joke. He understands now the spotlight's on him. Because the spotlight's on Pascal Siakam this year. They carry bigger responsibility due to some of the bodies that have left. And they're getting the bag.
I just wouldn't be shocked if what we saw out of Siakam this year, we see out of Fred. It can happen. It can happen once you sign that big deal, that you have all this pressure on your shoulders. The spotlight's on you at all times. And sometimes you're expected to do things you're not ready for. And that's okay. That's fine in athletes. It doesn't happen. We saw it this year, last couple of years with the Leafs and some of the big four that signed the contract. Sometimes you don't play as well as you should live up to that number.
And sometimes, Ziggy, you lose your shot for a week or two. And we've seen Freddie go cold. That's life. The key is that it doesn't persist and become a trend and you don't develop the yips or, you don't live up to the billing. But he's given no signs of that. He's always pulled himself out of funks. Mm-hmm. I mean, even in the playoff run when they won it all, he struggled for the first three rounds and then he found his shot just in time and was as key a contributor as anybody in the win over Golden State. Right. So it's just depends on where you're at in a given moment and limiting the damage during the downtimes. Adnan Verk will be along and we'll discuss the Raptors and so much more with him at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, our weekly chat with Adnan Verk.
Awesome.
I have to take a pot shot. I have to take a pot shot at his Philly Eagles. I think we're within our rights to do that at this point. His NFC East leading 3-6-1 Eagles.
I think he's a Wentz fan. I really do. I really do.
You hear it in his voice or you see it on his tweets?
They need to get rid of Carson. I'm sorry.
Dude, they got a ton of money invested in him. There's no chance.
I don't care. That last game was bad. Bad. The Eagles, I really do think, though, I think the Cowboys will win the division.
Oh, God.
I know how bad that is to say. If I had to pick a team right now, the Cowboys will win the division.
Well, you just gave away one of your Ziggy locks for tomorrow. Because if you think Dallas is going to win the division, then they're going to have to beat the football team at home tomorrow. My favorite nickname in pro sports, the football team.
I like Washington.
I want them to keep
teams would do something like that. Yeah. Absolutely.
It should have been the Seattle hockey team. As much as I love the Kraken and the Kraken has grown on me, the Seattle hockey team would have been good. Next baseball team should be
I feel like Chicago could do the Chicago hockey team. Keep all the same, like, keep the colors, everything the same, I think they could do it.
Change the logo.
I think change the logo, take the name. If there was a team to do it, I think Chicago could do it. It's just one of those. Not everybody can do it. Like, I don't think Carolina could do it. Like, I don't know.
The Carolina hockey team?
Or Florida. I wouldn't take it. But if it's Chicago, it's like an original six. I'm okay with that. But people are going to freak out right now that I want to take the name and the logo.
Get them on Twitter. Get them on Twitter at Mike Zygmantis. Get them on Twitter at Mike Zygmantis.
People, it is, yeah.
So we'll have Adnan Virk at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Joshua Cloak of The Athletic covering Toronto FC and the Maple Leafs. For that publication. We'll be along at 7:30. So we'll talk a little hockey, and we'll also talk Toronto FC. We were sitting here yesterday morning, feet up, dude. Like, we had Dwayne DeRosario on.
Mm-hmm.
Hagen, you know, we were pumping some important work that MLSE is doing and the Toronto FC is doing. And we just kind of were casually talking about that soccer match last night. Like, yeah, okay, so... yeah, they'll beat Nashville and they'll move on. And I dove in and out of that game. I'm not going to tell you fibs and say that I put the seatbelt on my couch and didn't get up at any point. But was that game getting slaughtered on Twitter or what? People were hating on how just the lack of action, and it was an extra time goal that sunk Toronto FC. They lose 1-0 and... boom, it's over. By the way, are you okay if I say nil? Or do you need me to
I'm okay with nil.
You're okay
I'm
with okay. nil for soccer?
Yeah, it's all good.
What
yeah,
if I pull that out for okay a Leaf score at some point next year? If I say nil.
I'm okay with nil.
You like nil?
It's okay. Yeah, you sound polished. I like it.
Okay. So it's acceptable outside.
You sound
outside,
like you know what you're doing.
it's acceptable outside of the soccer realm. You can use it in other sports. Excellent.
Yeah, you can.
Okay, I have your permission.
I just, you know what? They didn't deserve to win the game. So I thought Nashville was excellent. They're a defensive team. They bring everybody back. Sometimes they double guys. And they're patient, right? They don't... when they're successful, they play a patient game and they don't kind of push for offense if it's going to take away from the defensive side. So they don't... They really sit back, and I think that's tough for a lot of teams. Toronto yesterday, they didn't really generate as much as I expected them to generate. They weren't looking for, they weren't running the field. They weren't doing things that I've seen them do in the past. And it's almost like the last handful of games, they've got away from their game. And I know I mentioned to D-Ro about how they didn't score more than one goal in half dozen of their last games. And it's almost like they lost a little bit and didn't get it back. So that's tough. When you're mid-season and you lose your game, it's tough to get it back. In a lot of sports, I think soccer especially. The big one on the goal for me, so what stood out, things that stood out in the game for me, the goal in extra time, Larea, 22, I thought he gave up on the play. So it was one player from Nashville with three defenders from Toronto. And then it was almost like he got by and then he kind of gave up on the play. I just, for me, that can't happen. That can't happen in the playoffs. No one really talked about it yesterday during the match. I just kind of, that stuck out for me. Osorio, I thought he should have got a red card. He kind of hit the defender in the midsection. Right. Yeah. So I thought he should have got a red card. So, you know, they got away with one there. That was a big one for me. Just undisciplined. That should never happen or come close. It shouldn't even be a conversation. You should have the discipline not to do that. He was on his back, and he kicked the defender right below the belt. So,
dude, singing an octave higher in the shower this morning.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Yeah. Thanks. Thank you. I just want you to finish that one for me.
South of the equator. Yeah.
Yeah, just and the Stars didn't show up for you know, Toronto.
Well, what did D-Row talk about yesterday? Pushing the pace. It was like they were sitting back waiting for an expansion team, Nashville, to make a mistake. And it never came.
Yep. Yeah, and he called it right. He was right. But it's hard. It's hard when a team backs in like that. I played soccer growing up. I played in high school. Played at a high level as a teenager. And it's hard when a team defensively just backs in and wait. Like they're okay with a 0-0 game.
Right.
Going.
They're okay with that. They'd consider getting to penalty kicks a victory because then it's a crapshoot. Yes. Right.
Absolutely. I don't see it as such a big upset. I know Nashville, you know, seventh place seed. I really don't see them as a seventh place. It's a good team. I thought they also had a bunch. They scored on a bunch of chances that got called back with offsides. That's another thing. I was just like, there was some close offside calls. And what I like about soccer is if it's in question or it's close, they don't blow them down. They let you play them out, which I think more sports should do that. We talk about that with the NFL a lot, how, you know, don't call the play right. They call like pass interference. They don't call. Go, you know, talk with other officials. Go to replay. Check it over.
Oh, God. Are you sure?
No, it just. Yeah.
You sure you want more replay in some of these sports?
You do. Yeah. I think it happens in the NFL where they blow the play down sometimes on a fumble or something. When anything's in question, let the play out.
I agree with you on the fumble thing. Yeah.
That's what I mean. Just the pass interference, everything, especially the fumbling and, you know, oh, we called it. Oh, yeah, we made a mistake. Well, my guy could have ran the ball in for a touchdown on a turnover, on a fumble. You blew it down because you thought it was a dead play. Let it play out. So they do that in soccer with the offsides, and I like that. Any kind of close play, they don't guess. They let it play out, but it's hard because Nashville yesterday, what did they get? 3 goals on called back offsides. So it's a tough loss for, you know, FC, and I don't know where they go from here. I think question marks are around the coach. So, I just wonder what he's going
to
do.
Jesse from Woodbridge says, if it's okay to say nil for hockey, what about love, like in tennis? The Maple Leafs beat the Penguins 3-0.
No, that's a hard no for me.
So you're good with nil, but you're not good with love.
Yeah, love's not happening in anything except tennis.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you for trying that.
We'll have to do a deeper dive into why you feel so strongly about that. The other thing, so you were playing for the Kingston Frontenacs. You were a pretty good hockey player, obviously, made it to the NHL. You were talking a few months ago about your brilliant baseball career at Father Michael McGivney. Alexander McGivney.
High Academy. School. Academy.
Oh, not a secondary school, not a collegiate institute.
No, and it's academy. That means, an you know academy. What that means.
So it's where good athletes go? Is that the...
where all the wicked smart people from Hartford go.
You're never going to let me... You're never going to let me get away with that.
Toronto Hartford. SC playing in Hartford.
East Hartford.
Well, they don't have a Boston accent.
They don't have a Boston accent. Yeah. It's only in Massachusetts and Rhode Island.
We didn't even, like, there's another thing. They're playing in
Well, they're like the Blue Jays, man. They're like the Blue Jays.
I know,
Jays.
But that's... That
like the Raptors are going
up.
To be for a little while.
I know, but that adds up on you. You want to talk about the Raptors this year in the bubble and Toronto FC playing down in Connecticut. That stuff adds up on you. Sorry. It's hard.
I would imagine it adds up on you. It adds up in you more if it's Buffalo or Hartford than it does if it's Tampa.
This going down to
Tampa is at least tolerable
because. Well, Fred talked about it. He said, thank God we're going somewhere warm.
Right.
Imagine if they would have stuck the Raptors going to Buffalo. Oh man, that would be awesome. There'd be so many guys.
Poor Buffalo. Like, yeah. Our signal shoots across the lake. Someone is hearing this right now.
I know. Please let me buy the border and let's talk about the 99 draft if when it I come wasn't, down every game.
If it wasn't for a jammed up fax machine, you probably would have made 14 years of your life.
I'd be living in Tonawanda right now.
Yeah, you'd be neighbors with Michael Pekka and Harry Neal and... Didn't Scotty Bowman have a place in outside of Buffalo?
Me and Andrew Peters.
Andrew Peters? Yeah, you'd be... stuck with me. You'd have Andrew Peters and Craig Revea as your co-hosts.
I've known Andrew Peters from junior, and then we became good friends when we got drafted and we're, you know, just being part of the whole development system there. I would definitely live next to Andrew Peters over anyone else.
We'll have to get some Andrew Peters stories. Yeah, he's been on a few times. Back on.
Yeah, he's been great. And he's great guy. He's great, great on the radio. And he always messages me, "Hey man, when are you coming on the show?"
Have you done his show?
I haven't done it yet. Well, it's tough, right? Because he's on at 10, right? So yeah. We're on, 6 to 9, and then do another hour or two. He's always saying I want to do, come on for longer than just a hit, maybe the whole thing.
He wants you to co-host with him.
Oh, yeah, geez. Maybe.
There could be some American cake in that for you if you drive a hard enough bargain.
Yeah. He's like, so.
I don't know if you've heard.
It'll happen someday.
I don't know if you've heard, Ziggy. Their money is worth more. That could be a nice little thing. The Ziggy Hour week on.
It might be.
WGR 550. We like it. As I said, Joshua Cloak will be along at 7:30. Adnan Virk at 8 o'clock. And we're welcoming back to the program a former Toronto Blue Jay, now an MLB player agent, Jeff Fry, at 8:30. Want to get a sense of the market. You love this, right? You watched the NBA go wild last weekend. Deals get done left, right, and center. Oh, by the way, baseball's offseason is, 3 weeks old now? Players have been in free agency for most of that time since the World Series was awarded. And who's signed? Well, Charlie Morton signed a one-year deal with Atlanta, but the best players, the Springers, the Real Mutos, they're still out there. Bryce Harper, 2 years ago, I was in Clearwater in early March for a Blue Jays-Phillies game on the day that Bryce Harper arrived, because he signed his contract 2.5 weeks into spring training. When is this market going to start to move? How can baseball solve this problem? Jeff Fry will be along at 8:30. We've got $300 to attempt to give away in All or Nothing. Untuckit gift cards up for grabs. We'll play that at about 6:50. Keep the text rolling into 590, 590. We interact with you throughout the show. Hugh jumps in. Jim Nance wants to get paid. He works with Tony Romo on CBS's top NFL crew. He does the golf, does a bunch of things for CBS. We'll go through and rank our favorite top NFL play-by-play analyst duos. We'll do it next. Good things happened this year, Zeke. 1979.
Were you guys even born?
I said good things happened that year, 1979.
Okay.
specifically on the 26th of June, 1979. How you feeling, Zig, by the way? We're talking about birthdays there for a second. You're less than 2 months away from...
I'm feeling good. Yeah, I'm okay. It's under 2 months away. Can send gifts to 590. Whatever the address is.
The big 4-0.
I don't even know what the address of the building is.
Do you like gift certificates, Zig? I'm a gift certificate guy.
We're also a month to Christmas. It's November 25th. I don't know if you've looked at your calendar today. Holy crap.
Well, you reminded me this morning in the newsroom. I'm like, wow, 1 month away.
Gift cards at Christmas. Yes or no?
I'm fine with them.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Receiving.
I think this year, everybody's fine with them.
Yeah.
I think that's your only option this year, is it not?
Well, you can shop online, right?
Yeah, but then you're shipping it to the person doesn't like, it's just, why not? I think this is the year. If you're going to do anything, you're going to do gift certificates this year. Like, this is the year. I just
Give somebody here's the counter to the gift card argument.
Okay.
Why wouldn't you just give somebody money? And here's my argument.
Cold hard cash. You're gonna wrong give with that.
Pick a number. $100.
Sure.
Okay. $100 to wherever. You're telling the person, here's $100, and here's where you have to spend it. Yeah. I'm giving you $100, but you have to spend it here. Why don't you just give the person $100 so that they can spend it any way they like, including on any one of a number of addictions they may have?
It's a token, especially if you're thanking somebody. So say you do something nice, it's like a gesture. You have to give them some kind of not just physical like thank you card, but you need like some kind of card to a gift certificate to somewhere they would go, like a
so holding wherever. A plastic gift card yes, in your the hand.
It matters. It's like a gift. It matters.
Why not
trust
hold
me.
Like a
because it's telling them. It's telling them that I know that you like this store.
Yeah, it's
so
a
I've
gesture.
Thought about. It. I haven't gone to
yes,
this store and
it
bought
puts
anything.
Some thought. It's some thought into the gift rather than just cash.
Yeah, nothing says I've put the bare minimum of thought into this gift than a gift card, which I don't mind, actually.
It's just better than cash. I give my nephews cash. I go cash. They want cash. Well, that way they can round it up and put it to something big.
How much cash
but they
are we
request,
talking here,
they were they request that.
Like former hockey player.
How much cash? Like we talking
one
like,
of Andrew Peters yeah. and Craig Reve's co-hosts.
Three figures, four figures. What are we talking here? Come on.
Yeah, something like that. But the thing about the cash and right now is you're not going to see someone, so you're not going to mail someone cash, but you can email them a gift certificate. You know what I mean? So you can send somebody whatever. So if you want to send somebody, okay, you want a $50 gift. You're not going to give them $50 cash in an envelope.
You can
and send
email
it to them.
You can email gift cards now too.
Exactly. Are you going to e-transfer someone money?
Absolutely.
So you think it's okay for a gift?
Yes.
Yeah.
To e-transfer somebody money. So say, okay. So how you tell me what you want this year? Last year,
money.
I think I got everybody wine. Was that right or not? I don't even remember what I got everyone last year. I got everyone a bottle of wine.
Well, you and I are doing a scarf exchange in honor of Serge Ibaka.
But I got the wine. So you want me to send you a $200 gift certificate?
$200 will do.
Yeah.
He's like, man.
Scotty's like,
four
that
letters.
I was expecting Scotty to say that wasn't a $200 bottle of wine.
C-B-O.
Yeah.
The four favorite letters on a gift card. Yeah. An L, a C,
no,
a
but,
B,
but
and
all,
an O.
But all kidding aside, if you did buy like a $20 or $30 bottle of wine and you're not going to see everybody or you're not going into your office, wherever you work, you can send somebody a gift certificate to LCBO for $25. And I think that's more thoughtful than giving somebody money.
No, it's telling people where they have to shop. Okay, text to 590-590. Gift card versus cash. Are you pro Ziggy with the gift card because it's more thoughtful, but it forces somebody to shop at that particular store? Or are you more down with cash, which has the same value, it just gives the person the option to spend it how they
please. It's freedom, baby.
Please.
It's freedom.
And how many gift cards do you have stacked through the years that you've never gotten to?
There's a few. Well, they don't expire now. That's the important
that's
thing.
The
they
key.
Don't expire.
That's the key. Now, speaking of money, Jim Nance at CBS wants cake. So Tony Romo is making $17.5 million on his CBS deal. Right. And he has taken the analyst world by storm with his work at CBS since retiring from the Dallas Cowboys 3 or 4 years ago now. Well, Nance makes in the neighborhood of $6 million a year. He is Tony Romo's partner, right? He's been at CBS forever. He is the host of the Masters, the lead play-by-play voice in the Masters.
Tradition unlike any other.
Right. Jim Nance's calming voice and
the
Masters
as well, yeah.
Music is everything. He does NCAA Final Four, college basketball, all of that. So he's a jack of all trades and one of the top broadcasters in North America and probably the world. So he wants Romo money. Well, we got to talking on the chat thread yesterday about our favorite NFL duos. And I think that this is, with apologies to those who have come before, whether it's the John Maddens or the John Grudens, I think that this is the strongest time, the strongest era that we have had for top network NFL play-by-play analyst duos. NBC has Michaels with Tirico waiting in the wings, and I believe Tirico's doing the Sunday night game this week. Like, Mike Tirico is starting to take some games from Al Michaels. Michael's schedule is dwindling as he gets into his later 70s. And
might
they
do more and more hockey, too.
Tirico is also excellent. So it's the Michaels, Tirico, Chris Collinsworth on NBC. It's Nance and Romo on CBS. And it's Buck and Aikman on Fox. I think we're treated to some high-quality work.
Yeah.
How do you rank them? My opinion has changed through the years.
Okay. Well, what's your metric for ranking these guys?
Who do I enjoy the most?
Yeah. For me, yeah, it's comfort. Who do I enjoy listening to the most? All three of those groups, by the way, amazing. My favorite is Aikman and Buck.
Damn, I was hoping we could disagree. Yeah, they're my favorite too.
In my opinion, Tony Romo's great, but nobody has made the leap from player to broadcaster as smoothly as Troy Aikman. Like, Troy Aikman sounds total professional broadcaster. Like, he's great. So kudos to all those three. But I think my favorite of all time, and it's going to kind of fly in the face of what you were just saying.
You're talking about Summerall and Madden?
I loved Pat Summerall and John Madden. I mean, that was, to me, that's what I grew up with, right? That's the best.
That's what you know.
Yeah. Because they both had such distinctive voices.
Well, and Al Michaels is another one with a great distinctive voice. If I were ranking them, I've got Buck and Aikman at the top of the list. I've got Nance and Romo 2, and I've got Michaels and Collinsworth a not too distant 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is. Collinsworth is excellent, but sometimes I get a little, you're in my face.
Yeah.
A little bit too much.
It's good and bad.
I got Romo and Nance as my number one. I like the way Romo breaks down the game.
You like how he calls plays before they even happen.
I just like, because I can understand the game more. I never played football growing up. Out of all the sports, that's just one I never played. So I like the way that Tony Romo can break down a game where I can understand it better. And he does that. And Jim Nance is the ultimate pro. Second, I like Al Michaels and Collinsworth. I like the way Collinsworth breaks down games. He's not afraid to go after guys when they're not playing well. They miss a shot. They miss a play. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Aikman and Buck after. Mm-hmm. But Aikman's great. Like, Aikman and Joe Buck, they're great. Like, that's a tough three to really rank.
You're not wrong if you pick any of those.
Yeah. I think Aikman's amazing as an analyst. Sometimes he doesn't dig into the game as much as I'd want. You know, he kind of straddles the fence a little. For me, if you're going to be an analyst in a game, you got to go after guys when they don't play well, you miss a play, like something doesn't go right. You have to be able to critique the guys while they're playing. So I feel like Romo's getting better at
but he doesn't
going
really
after
go
guys.
After guys. Though,
he doesn't
does
go
he?
After guys, but he's
I have heard Aikman go after guys, and I say, you know, that is
a terrible throw, or that was
I've heard him call guys out before. Yeah,
I think Collinsworth. I feel like Collinsworth does it more than Aikman for me.
The way he probably does.
So that's my thing. I want to be able to understand what's going on during the game, and you know, Romo can break those things down for someone like me who's, you know, just I didn't play football growing up.
Yeah. I think Romo one day will be as good as Troy Aikman. He just needs seasoning, right? It's only his second year?
Oh, I think he's into his third or fourth now. Yeah, something like that.
Third. I think, at the most, yeah. But one day he's going to be where Troy Aikman is. But Troy, even when Troy Aikman first started, it was almost seamless.
You know who drives so much emotion one way or the other, there's almost no gray area, is Joe Buck. And yeah, I got to be honest.
I've come around.
Joe Buck has grown on me in the last 5 or 10 years.
He's excellent.
I think on the baseball side of things, working with John Smoltz has changed the dynamic of that booth.
In what way?
Tim McCarver was never at the top of my list. I'm just being honest about it. I mean, it's a personal preference thing. And we're not crapping on people in our industry who've obviously achieved very, very highly. I like the dynamic better with John Smoltz.
Yeah.
I like the delivery better. I like the talking points better.
The comfort, right?
I know Smoltz gets crapped on because he doesn't respect analytics enough in the minds of some and whatever. I like the conversation. Baseball's a conversational sport. And because I think Aikman is excellent, I think he has also drawn out Joe Buck, and you see the true skill. And Buck's ability to let the crowd tell you what's happening. He can describe a big play with perfect inflection and just the right number of words. And sometimes there are very few words.
Yeah.
And he lets the crowd, he's just, and he's a master at his craft, and he should be, because he's been in the top seat at Fox doing their two biggest products, the NFL and Major League Baseball, for about 20 years now.
Yeah.
Like, so he's truly mastered the art of what he does.
I also like Joe Tessitore as well. He's great. He's versatile, too. He does a lot.
He's not doing MNF anymore, though.
No, right? but he did football. He does a lot of UFC stuff. He does a lot of boxing stuff. It's great. A lot of talent.
See if Jim Nantz gets paid.
Deserves it. Should he get paid as much as Romo?
Absolutely. Well, look at the responsibilities he has
so
at CBS.
He does so much more. Yeah. That's
versatile.
Romo said that he wanted to do golf. I don't know if they're going to let him do golf.
He wants to play golf.
Yeah. No, but he gets up there for he's almost qualified for a U.S. Open.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's a good player, and he's almost qualified for the Open. Like, that's pretty good. I know a couple of guys, good college players, that have tried to – they try every year to qualify for the U.S. Open. They don't even get a sniff. So the fact that he almost got in one year, I think it's pretty special. I know we have to go, but we do have one. We had a tweet to come in. Morning, boys. Great show. Just a reminder, there are Visa and MasterCard gift cards that can be used for online shopping anywhere. And that's from Farrell.
Thank you, Farrell.
Well done.
Another good idea.
Actually, you know what? I have an issue with those cards, though.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, that's we'll play yay or nay at the top of the hour. And one of our yays or nays will be Visa or MasterCard gift cards. And Ziggy will nay that one.
I have an issue
one.
With both of them.
Nay that one to the hilt. 416-870-0590, 416-870-0590. We are on a two-day losing skid. So we got $300 in Nantucket gift cards that we want to give away. We do that by playing All or Nothing. And continue to text to 590-590. Are you pro gift card or pro cash? Ziggy's pro gift card. I say give people cash. That way they can spend it where they want to. All or Nothing, and then yay or nay coming up.
Coming up. It's time to play All or Nothing with Ziggy and Scotty Mack on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, 1 month to Christmas. We got a gift to give away, $300 in Nantucket gift cards. Three true or false questions in All or Nothing. You get them all right or all wrong, and you win. So if you get the first one wrong, Hugh, it's okay. Don't hang up.
No, you just got to get the other two wrong.
Got to get questions two and three.
Don't panic.
Don't panic. Jason in Mississauga is our Wednesday contestant. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, guys.
Good luck to you. Ziggy's got question number one.
One of three J's.
Okay, you got to start. Ziggy, start that again because your microphone wasn't on off the top. So you're good now. Start the question again.
Our guest at 8:30 is Jeff Fry. He is one of three Jays to hit for the cycle. The others are Kelly Gruber and Kevin Biggio. True or false?
True.
That is correct. Biggio, September 17, 2019. Fry did it in 01, and Gruber did it in 89.
Kelly Gruber did it by... Didn't he, was it Gruber or Fry who legged that double into a single?
That was Fry.
That was Fry
that
in 2001.
Yeah. Hammers it off the wall for a long single.
For a long single. All right, Jason, get the next two correct, and the gift cards are yours.
Jason, okay. Jason, are you a poker player at all?
Not really, no.
Okay, perfect. This question's for you. Yesterday, if you were listening, you heard Ziggy and I talking about poker. In Texas Hold'em poker, there's a very specific hand known as the worst statistical hand you can draw. Worst hand in poker. Seven deuce offsuit. Is that true or is that false?
True.
You're absolutely right. Was that a guess, Jason?
No, I knew that.
Okay. Yeah, it's a pretty terrible hand. If you get seven deuce, fold it. Like, not like Ziggy, trying to hang on to it and make something up.
You've never pushed all your chips into the middle of a table at a after a rough night in the Bellagio on a seven deuce offsuit?
There are games you can play, though. You can play seven deuce where if you win a hand with that, you win like $100 from everybody.
Okay. This is it, Jason, for $300 in Nantucket gift cards. The Blue Jays reportedly have interest in free agent all-star catcher JT Realmuto. Now, if you know Realmuto's career, this one shouldn't be that tough for you. Realmuto played last season, the 2020 season, for the Miami Marlins. True or false?
False.
Give that man his gift card.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll send you the gift cards. We're not going to send you cash. It's okay.
You were just waiting, waiting to jump in on that. Jason in Mississauga, you win $300 in Nantucket gift cards. JT Realmuto began his career with the Miami Marlins, along with Giancarlo Stanton and Christian Yelich. But he has played the last couple of seasons with the Philadelphia Phillies. So because we have a winner today, we reset the clock to $100. And we will play all or nothing for $100 in Nantucket gift cards at this time tomorrow morning. Joshua Cloak covering Toronto FC and the Maple Leafs for The Athletic at 7:30. Up next, a little yay or nay, and keep the text coming to 590-590. Gift cards or cash at Christmas? Which is the preferred option? Ziggy's pro gift card. I'm pro cash. We'll keep reading your texts coming up. Things coming in on the text line about gift cards and cash, Ziggy.
They're always on my side.
Are they?
Everybody.
See, they could be.
I don't know. I don't even need to go on.
They
could
be. Which
I don't know. I don't know how to get on there, but if I did, they're all with me because they know that you do not give cash to someone. That is a no.
How do you not give cash to someone? It's the best way to go about it.
I was talking earlier about the Visa MasterCard gift cards. Do you know what those are?
Yeah, isn't it like...
They load them with a certain amount of money, and then you can use them anywhere.
It's a debit card, more or less, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Not a credit card, a debit card. Yeah.
Whatever, you know what I mean. So, it's... The problem with them is that, say, I give you $100, one of these cards that you can use anywhere... If you want to use 120, if it's like, say you buy something that's 120, you can't use them. It has to be under the value.
Oh.
And I've asked the store, well, I had a $200 one given.
Well,
why
can't you max out a $100 card and then pay
the
rest?
That's what I said. I asked the store that I was in, well, I had a $200 card. And I said, can you just use $200? And they said, no, we can't do that. And I said, all right, then I'll use this somewhere else. But here's the problem with it, though. That's not it. It's that when it gets down to like $10 or $30 or $40, and then you don't know how much is on it, and then it just sits in your wallet when you don't use all of it. That's how they get you.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you got 9 or 10 gift cards partially used in your wallet.
$9, $10? You don't even know how much is on them.
You got a Costanza-sized wallet where you can't close it together and everything's flying out of there, falling out. Graham in Scarborough, you only give cash to kids, adult gift cards for sure, like a date night to the keg.
Scarborough, smart.
Yeah. He didn't say which part of Scarborough, though. Could be the Bluffs.
We're all together, buddy. We are together.
All right.
Army.
East side, the Scarborough Army.
East side Army.
All right. Yay or nay? Bunch of hypothetical scenarios or realistic scenarios, and we give them a yes or a no and explain why. A little yay or a little nay. We'll start it. Silk Gentilly puts together the list. We'll start right at the top. I'm just going to make the paper sound there. All right, here we go. Clear the throat. Give the hoodie credit. Be William Belichick. What we are seeing from Tom Brady this season is why the Patriots head coach was okay to move on from him. Yay or nay?
Nay. Thank you very much. First off, does anybody really know who left who? We still don't know that. Is Tom Brady done? No, he's not. He has trouble throwing the long ball this past weekend. But believe me, he still has lots of game in him. And Belichick, I don't know. I don't know about Belichick right now. This is an opportunity to see what he has. He has Cam up in New England now. Can he get it done? They've shown glimpses, but I don't.
That was a tough loss to Houston.
They've had a couple. I think the worst one was the Buffalo one.
Oh, but Ziggy, you're 4-5, and you got people like us on the radio last week talking about, hey, we're saying Buffalo and Miami are going to play for the division in Week 17. Oh, don't forget about the Patriots. Yeah, and then they pissed down their own legs against the Texans. The Texans.
So just think right now, they should be 6-4. And then it's...
Okay, don't do that, then it's, though.
I've got to do it.
Don't they do that. Be, should be woulda, ifs, and buts, or candy and nuts.
It's an easily 6-4 team. It's impressive. It's impressive the fact... Weren't they in the game against KC even this year?
They were in the game in Seattle. Yes, earlier in the season.
It's maybe better than a lot of people expected, but look at the record. Like you just said, don't give me shoulda, coulda, woulda. 4-6 now.
4-6.
Yeah. So, yeah, that one's a nay for me.
I'm going to nay that one too, and here's why. Who said Bill Belichick moved on from Tom Brady? I thought Tom Brady moved on from Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm. We don't. No one really knows. It hasn't come out.
Well,
like
Brady,
no one really knows.
Brady regressed last year, and there's been some regression for the last couple of years. The peripheral, easy for me to say, statistics have suggested that. He also didn't have a ton of weapons in New England last season. He would not have a ton of weapons again this year. Julian Edelman is down. They had a bunch of opt-outs on the defensive side of the ball for the COVID-19 stuff with Hightower and Patrick Chung leading that list. The divorce was inevitable. It was just going to be, did Brady retire and that's what caused the breakup? Or was he looking to get out from underneath Bill Belichick's massive shadow?
The thing about it is when Gronk comes out of retirement and joins Tom, you just know that there was deeper issues there.
Well, do you remember last year? Do you remember last year during his year off when Gronk was at one of those symposiums advocating for cannabis and he got emotional about how screwed up his head was and how mangled his body was? He got emotional talking about football and the effect that it had had on him. So you take that year off, your body starts to feel right again, and you think to yourself, if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to come back, I'm going to enjoy it. Right? I'm going to be free to be
me. I'm going to live in Tampa. I'm not going to play in the cold up in New England.
And I'm not going to play
Foxborough.
you know, crazy coach guy. All NFL coaches are insane, by the way, but Bill Belichick.
I don't want to get too off what we're trying to do right now, but did you hear Arians, what he was there, the Bucs head coach, kind of dig into Brady again?
Well, he's dug into Brady a few times, yeah.
I know, but I think this past Sunday was the worst, saying that he has no problem in practice. He's just not seen the right coverage in games. I think that was the biggest dig at him this year. I think it was bad. That was a little, I think he really called him out. I'm not into calling out in media, guys, especially coaches to players like that, or passive aggressive jabs. Just, I don't like it.
Tampa Bay is going to have to go on the road and win in the playoffs. That's how it's going to be for them. They're two losses behind the Saints now, and the Saints have the tiebreak because the Saints took them twice. So it's effectively a 2.5 game lead, if you will. Tampa Bay has to finish with fewer losses than the Saints in order to overcome them in that division, which is to say Tampa Bay's got to go. If Tampa Bay doesn't lose again this year, the Saints have to lose 3 of their final 6 games. That's not happening.
Yeah, it's not happening.
We were talking about Jim Nantz in the last segment. He wants coin. He wants big money. He wants the 17.5 mil or so that Tony Romo makes each year. Jim Nantz should make the same or more than Tony Romo from CBS, but he should not under any circumstance make less. Jim Nantz should not be paid a dime less by CBS per year than Tony Romo, yay or nay?
Yay.
Yay!
He does more events. He's the play-by-play. I don't think Tony should make more. The question now is, how awkward is that now in the booth when you're talking?
He can't hold that against Tony Romo.
I'm not saying he's going to hold it against them. I'm just going to say it could be a little bit awkward in the booth.
When you're
in the public talking about that, it's awkward.
If I'm Tony Romo, I'm cheering for Jim Nantz to get his money because it doesn't affect me.
I know
me.
That.
And if I'm Jim Nantz, I'm happy for Tony Romo to get paid that way because that gives me the bar for which to aim.
I'm telling
rising
you right
tide,
now,
arise.
It's awkward in the booth.
I'm going to say this in my best Canadian accent. A rising tide floats all boots.
Let me tell you this right now. You've got a former professional athlete and one of the best media guy, play-by-play hosts, whatever you want to call Jim Nantz. They're professionals, and you're never going to hear it on the airwaves, but I'm telling you right now.
They're pals.
It's a little awkward. I know they're pals. They were friends before and they had a relationship, but it could get awkward. Trust me.
We'll go off the sports board very quickly here. U.S. Thanksgiving tomorrow, right? So they turn this into a big 4-day weekend. I think today is the, and let's knock on wood that this doesn't turn into a super spreader event. I know airports have been packed the last couple of days, but today is traditionally the day of the year in the United States with the most travel. Like, airports are just loony bins from coast to coast as people move around to see their families.
It's the biggest travel day, but if you want, all the golf courses in Florida are the cheapest. Just mark your calendars.
Florida,
down,
we love Florida.
Just mark your calendars. I just know because my buddies go down this week every year because it's cheap. And I don't, it must be because everyone's going home and they aren't golfing. So the courses are cheap down south. Go ahead, Scotty.
If your buddies are looking for cheap golf, they must be your friends from some other walk of life that doesn't involve the yacht club. So here's the yay or nay.
Don't go to the yacht club.
I can imagine some of them at the yacht club.
Yeah, not happening.
The revolution will be televised. All right, here we go. I would trade Canadian Thanksgiving for the U.S. version. Give me a Thursday and a Friday into the weekend rather than a weekend into the Monday.
Yay.
Yay!
Sorry, I got to cut you off that one. I'm not even going to let you finish that sentence. The U.S. Thanksgiving is a lot bigger. It's just You've got the NFL. You got football on the TV. It's just a bigger buildup. It's more than what it is in Canada. And I've lived in the U.S. for about 10 years, so I got to experience a lot of them. I'm not to say that it's not a big holiday here, but in the U.S., it's massive.
Thanksgiving is bigger than Christmas in a lot of places in the U.S.
Yes, absolutely. And that's not the case in Canada. Christmas is bigger than Thanksgiving in Canada. But my family, we usually do it on the weekend. So we'll do it on the Saturday usually. So I don't really notice it much. I just know, you know, that it's a holiday on the Monday. Where the U.S., I feel like people stretch it into a lot of people stretch this into a week. Like a lot of people, definitely, a lot of friends of mine, they'll take off like the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and we'll make it a week thing. So yeah, it's definitely, that's a yay for me.
I'm going to say yay for a different reason.
Yay!
Just give us the fourth day. Like, turn the Friday into a stat. Give us a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday wraparound. I'd be good with that. I'm
good with that.
I don't really care if it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, or if it's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, although that one gets a little weird. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Give us two short work weeks instead of one really short work week.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the extra day on the front end. Give me the Friday.
Well, we're still working.
You know why our Thanksgiving is so much earlier than Americans, right? You're smart. You know our history, right?
I honestly have no idea.
It's because we're a colder country. We're further north, so our harvest is sooner.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
I'm calling absolutely true on that one.
Okay, go to Wikipedia. Don't lie. No, the crops get harvested earlier up here, especially out in Saskatchewan and all that, where they got all the open land. So our Thanksgiving was
You're a turkey guy, aren't you?
I'm a big turkey guy. I'm a big turkey. And yes to cranberry sauce, and yes to stuffing, and yes to mashed potatoes, and yes to whatever bread you want to throw out in front of me, and yes to seconds and maybe thirds, yes to pumpkin pie, yes to apple pie, yes to apple crisp.
So on our group chat yesterday, we were talking about what to put on the turkey. I don't eat turkey.
Gravy. I'm pro turkey.
You actually like turkey though? Like you like the taste of turkey?
I do. I didn't so much as a kid, but I put myself through it. Now as an adult, I love it.
You're telling me you could eat turkey with no sauce or nothing on it, just straight dry turkey. As they say, cold turkey.
The next day? Yes, I could. When it's cold.
You could go cold turkey?
I would. Yes, I could literally go cold turkey. Was the whole point of that 2 minutes to get us to that point? Because that is a punchline that deserves a punch.
I'm going to say this right now. Turkey is only a vehicle to get the gravy down. And that is it. Because who actually likes turkey? I don't think many people actually like it.
You brought in a tofurkey last year, and I was embarrassed to say that I didn't mind it.
It actually wasn't that bad.
Yay or nay? I'm going off the board here, Ziggy, so...
Okay.
Relax, it's not that tough.
Off the board.
Yay or nay, the NHL will drop the puck on the new season within a week... I'm giving you a bit of time here. Within a week of New Year's Day. So sometime up until January 8th. Yay or nay?
Nay. It's getting to that point right now where they need, gosh, you're going to need at least a month. And I don't see it getting done in the next... 8 days.
And I don't think these guys want to be isolated from their families for Christmas.
That's the big one for me. What are you going to do? Send players to... It's different for the NBA, though, because the NBA plays on New Year's Day. The NHL, you get that time off. Like, that's off. Right?
Yeah, you get the 23rd to the 26th, right? Games stop on the 22nd,
yep,
typically, and you don't come back till the 27th.
Sometimes you, yeah, it depends on the year.
I used to play. There were games on Boxing Day, but not anymore.
In the minors, I believe I was given 2 days off. In the minors, never mind the NHL. Like, I played. Usually, they made it an earlier game. I would fly home. I'd have the next day off. Usually Christmas, and then yeah, I'd have to be back on Boxing Day morning for a game. So, I don't think they're gonna. My target date for the NHL is February 1st. Any day sooner than that would be remarkable.
Okay, so then I'm gonna do a piggyback yay or nay on that one. Yay or nay, the NHL's season is 55 games or less. So 55 is the maximum number of games. Yay or nay?
Yay.
Yay!
So are you thinking 48?
48 is going to be the number.
It's going to be the lockout number.
They're going to have to get this in before the Olympics. They're going to have to do that. Have to get
well,
it
the
in
other,
before
the other
July.
Part of it, and I agree with you there too, Zig, but I also... As best you can, and it doesn't mean you don't push it into the latest parts of June or maybe even around Canada Day. If it's possible, I think you want to do your best to get back onto schedule.
We want to be playing when we're used to watching, right. When fans are used to.
And you want your Stanley Cup champion, your Stanley Cup finalist to have 2.5 months off or so before they come back to training camp, hopefully in September for the 21-22 season. I think that's, if you can get that, work that out somehow, some way, we're crossing our fingers with the vaccine. Like there's mm-hmm. light at the end of this tunnel that I don't know what normal is, but that we'll be able to start commiserating with society again. Hopefully, if you can get back onto schedule, hopefully by the 2021-2022 season, you can get people into rinks, you can play 82 games, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yay or nay, will we do this again next week? That would be a yay.
Yay!
Jeff Fry at 8:30. What is his sense of the current market for free agents in Major League Baseball? Adnan Virk, we'll talk a little baseball with him. We'll talk some NFL and the NHL's current state and its return to play. And up next, Joshua Cloak. He covers Toronto FC and the Maple Leafs for The Athletic. Dual threat. We'll talk about last night's Toronto FC stunning playoff elimination at the hands of Nashville, the expansion team. And we'll discuss some Leafs topics as well. Joshua Cloak with us coming up. Should we do the guest test this morning? Cash or gift cards?
Yeah, let's go with it.
We'll set the tone for the conversation.
Yeah, we'll do it with all of them.
Whose side is our guest on? I'm pro cash, you're pro gift card for Christmas. Cash gives you freedom, man. Gift card, it says here's the cash, but you need to spend it here. I think coming on to talk Toronto FC and the Leafs. These are the tough conversations. Joshua Cloak from The Athletic to talk Toronto FC and the Maple Leafs. The author of Come On You Reds, The Story of Toronto FC is with us. Before we get into the events of last night, cash or gift card as a holiday gift, Joshua? Which one? Which one do you prefer?
Where's the gift cards to? Well, am I giving or receiving? That's the important question.
Well, that's the thing, right? I say cash is freedom. here's the money. Spend it where you want. Ziggy says gift card because it at least implies that you've given some thought about where that person may like to shop.
I like that. I'll just say on the receiving end, my wife and I finally bought our first. We've asked for nothing but Rona gift cards. So, like, if I'm just going factual this time around, I'm going to say gift cards. But they're easy too, right? Like, let's not forget, like, cash is easy. Gift cards are just as easy. Cash is, you're right, it's so impersonal. It's more the birthday gift, right? Cash.
Thank you very much.
Gift cards for Christmas.
Okay.
I'm one up.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Ziggy, this interview is yours, pal. You two friends can just chat for the rest of the morning. I know Adnan Verk will have my back at 8 o'clock.
So I'm up one now, right? So I got everybody on Twitter, everybody on the text lines with me.
Ziggy leads series 1-0. And we'll see if I can jump back with Adnan at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. All right, Joshua, we had Dwayne DiRosario on yesterday. He was doing the media rounds as MLSE and the Toronto FC are doing some important charity work. And we were talking about last night's playoff game against Nashville, and was highly anticipated, of course, the kickoff to Toronto FC's MLS Cup playoff run, which, all of a sudden is over. Dero was calling on this team to push the pace to take it to Nashville. That didn't happen. Why not?
Yeah, I think Greg Vanney, TFC's head coach, summed it up pretty well after the game. He just said, we ran out of gas. And you're looking at a team that, first of all, hadn't played in more than 2 weeks. And it brings up the whole rest versus rust argument. And they clearly looked rusty. They were out of game form. And they were coming up against a Nashville team that had just won their first ever playoff game days before 3-0. So they're coming in on high. TFC just never even hit second gear last night. They couldn't find any synergy in the midfield. They just looked out of sorts, and they looked like a team as well that has spent, 100 nights in hotel rooms this year. I mean, we all know the story of this team kind of being forced to go play down in Orlando when they really didn't want to earlier in the season. And then they have to spend most of their season living out of a hotel in Hartford, of all places, and finishing off their regular season there. So they just looked like a team that was just out of ideas on the pitch and just looked mentally drained. And I think if you look at this game kind of in a vacuum, you say, well, maybe Greg Vanney should have stocked his bench with some of his younger players who could have brought some spark, when they go into extra time and those added 30 minutes. But I think if you're just looking at context as well, this was a team that was just exhausted after, what I think a lot of players will tell you is probably the most draining season of their career, right?
Yeah, for sure. We were discussing that earlier, and just the fact that you're not playing in your own city, you don't have your fans there, it adds up, and I think it really starts to show in the playoffs a lot. Their attack wasn't great. It generated a couple of chances, not what we're used to seeing. Pozuelo was quiet. Piatti was coming off of an injury. He looked rusty. Was it the big guns on Toronto that, to blame for this, or was it something bigger?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's kind of a double-edged sword because you can say without a doubt that TFC's three designated players who you have to rely on in those biggest of games. That's why you spend big money on big players. They didn't show up. Jozy Altidore looked like he was fighting something all game. And this is, one of the club's highest paid players, probably one of the league's highest paid players as well. He looked ineffective in attack. Pozuelo just looked tired all game, and Piatti couldn't go the full match either. And I think if you're Toronto FC, you have to ask yourself, are we taking the right approach to spending if we're spending big on players that have, injury history, and Pozuelo doesn't, but Piatti and Jozy Altidore do? And are we making the right call in spending big on players that are kind of older, right? And you look at a lot of MLS teams, what they do is they spend big money on younger players, and that's kind of a gamble, but they're also looking with one kind of eye towards the future and saying maybe we should sell these players on and kind of keep the club itself sustainable. And I don't know if that's what Toronto FC wants to do, but I do think that, you know, after this season, because they were just riddled with injuries all season. So on one hand, you feel bad for Greg Vanney and the team because they were dealing with injuries all season. But then you do have to ask, is this not something, are these injuries something you could not have prevented, you know, had you signed younger players that maybe didn't have that injury history? So yes, to answer your question, on the night, their biggest players didn't show up. And I think there are reasons after this game to kind of, as a club, do a bit of soul searching and say, what do we want to do moving forward? Is this kind of veteran team the best approach that we should have moving forward?
So on Nashville's only goal last night, was I seeing something that no one else saw? Was Richie Larea, was he not, did he just give up on that play, or was I just seeing something that wasn't there?
I mean, it kind of reminded me of one of those plays where there's like a, you know, a pop fly into the outfield and you have kind of two outfielders going to chase the ball. And then it's, you know, one guy saying it's yours, the other guy saying it's yours, and then nobody catches it, right? That's kind of what it looked like to me. I don't think Larea can be blamed on that one, because he was one of the very few players that was up for it all game. I think it was just a mental lapse, and that's not kind of making an excuse, but I think it was just that kind of, and you know what it's like, you in a split second decision, if you kind of blink and say, you know what, you've got him. No, you've got him. And then, you know, it's all over. But I do think that, like, as bad as that goal kind of looked, that goal was going to come for Nashville one way or another. They had two goals previously called offside. And usually when that kind of thing happens and you get a goal against you called offside, it can serve as a bit of a wake-up call, right, to elevate your game and elevate your pace of play. And that didn't happen. And I think, you know, this was a win that Nashville fully deserved, because, again, TFC just looked tired and uninspired all game.
With Joshua Cloak covering Toronto FC for The Athletic, this is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So you touched on the possible need to reassess payroll allotment to injury-prone players, Joshua. Does a loss like last night signal a shift? Where do you think this franchise goes from here? I mean, the success, including the MLS Cup a few years ago, the success of the last half decade or so has been inarguable.
Oh, absolutely. And if you ask Bill Manning, Toronto FC's president, he'll tell you that one thing he values more than anything else when building a lineup is consistency. It was his approach with Real Salt Lake. You know, he employed that approach. And that's something he wants to bring to Toronto FC. And I think that's good because, you know, that allows those relationships on the pitch to be developed because players understand each other's movements, right? And that's important. But I do think that when you have a team last night, eight of their starting 11, 29 or over, it's difficult to kind of argue that that's the way that things should be going. So I guess if you're Bill Manning and you're Ali Curtis and you're Greg Vanney, you look at this and you say, right, was this season just one where we had so many kind of trying circumstances? Or was this game kind of, I guess we can call it a vestibule into like bigger changes in the future, right? Should we utilize this as a means to kind of rebuild the squad and really hand over the reins to some of the team's younger players that were just kind of chomping at the bit all season? I mean, we saw them, you know, play 16 and 17 year olds. And I'm not saying that they should be playing those, you know, throughout the season regularly, but I do think that these players deserve, you know, more credit and more kind of responsibility within the team, because this is the way that TFC also want to, you know, build themselves up as a franchise, because they've sunk so much money into their academy and they want to be a place where young players in Toronto can come and play. And I think now it's time to kind of give those players the opportunity, because they've had, you know, a lot of old players, a lot of veteran players kind of come through the squad. Now I think it's time to kind of see what else these younger players can do. Because again, injuries were one of the big stories with Toronto FC. And I do wonder if some of that can be avoidable if you kind of rely on younger players a little more.
Yeah. So you mentioned the coach, Greg Vanney. Do you think will he be back next year, long-term? You think he moves on?
Yeah, that's without a doubt the biggest question for Toronto FC this offseason. His contract is up. I had a chance to speak to Greg Vanney for about half an hour before the game, and I asked him point blank, is his contract extension done? He said, no, it's something they've kind of put on pause. And I asked him, do you want to stay in Toronto? And he said, I have no reason to want to leave to Toronto, which maybe was a little bit cryptic. I mean, this is a contract extension that we were led to believe was essentially done. And then it was kind of put on hold. I think if you're Greg Vanney, you know, you ask yourself, does it get any better than Toronto FC throughout MLS? And, you know, if you look at resources and you look at kind of what's available as a club, probably not, right? This is a club that sinks more money into those resources than I would argue most other MLS clubs. But if you're Greg Vanney, you also ask yourself, are there other mountains to climb, right? Are there other challenges? I don't think that Greg Vanney has gotten the players, those kind of wide attacking players that he's coveted for years. I don't know if he's gotten exactly those type of players from club management that he's wanted. So maybe that's an issue that he really has to kind of contend with. I think if you're Toronto FC management, you kind of give Greg Vanney whatever you want. This is a club that, you know, they wouldn't be where they are today without him. He's the one that kind of dragged this club into MLS Cup last year when they really had no business being there. He was nominated for Coach of the Year again this year. You're not going to find too many better coaches in MLS. So I think it's kind of a question for Greg Vanney whether or not, you know, he thinks there's other challenges to kind of accomplish. If I had to bet, I think he's back, but it also wouldn't surprise me if he's not back. And then if that does happen, I think that's going to be kind of the first domino to fall for the club.
With Joshua Cloak, we'll have to get you back on to talk about the Leafs for a longer period of time, but I'll hang one question on you, and we'll pick it up the next time we chat. This is obviously an important year for the Leafs in terms of taking the next step, and it's going to be an awkward year. There will be fewer than 82 games. That's essentially guaranteed. It's quite likely, Joshua, that they will play in a Canadian division by the sounds of it. Kyle Dubas has changed the supplements around the core. If the core doesn't take that next step this year, which is to say that the Leafs don't go on some kind of a playoff run of description, do you think the next step is to extract at least one of the core four a year from now, or do you think that this core four has a lot of rope going forward?
Boy, that's way harder than the gift card cash question, isn't it?
I'd ask you easier questions, but you didn't side with me on the most important topic of the morning. So I'm going Cronkite.
I set myself up on that one. I guess my short answer is no. I don't think, you know, everything that Kyle Dubas has kind of led us to believe is that he doesn't want to trade these players. He doesn't want to kind of, I mean, one of the most revealing quotes to me that Kyle Dubas has ever given us is that, you know, they're not in the habit of getting rid of good young players, right? Like, you know, I do understand the criticism, and I do understand that, you know, if the Leafs don't kind of take that step and win a round, probably win two rounds, that there's going to be real questions. But, you know, the Marners, the Nylanders, and the Matthews of the world, these players aren't easily available. And I think you can argue that Matthews and Nylander especially are on terrific contracts given their production. And I do expect Marner to have kind of a bounce back season. So I don't know if you can trade these players given that those type of players aren't readily available. You know, I think Kyle Dubas kind of, I don't want to say got lucky, but these are the players that he was kind of dealt when he took over the job. And I don't know if I'm Kyle Dubas, I don't know if I make that huge of a gamble, because these players are just, they're too good, they're too talented, and I don't see enough of them out, you know, elsewhere around the league.
Great to chat, Joshua. Thanks for doing this, and we'll certainly reach out again next month.
Anytime, boys. Stay safe.
You bet. Joshua Cloak of The Athletic covering Toronto FC and the Maple Leafs. Now, you've heard all about this. We're cleaning out our prize closet with the help of Jiffy. And we've made mystery boxes which contain signed jerseys and more for you to win. To enter, here's what you need to do. Listen during Good Show, Writer's Block, and Tim and Sid every weekday to collect keywords. And when you hear those keywords, text them to 590-590 with your first name, last name, and city. And then tune in every morning at this time for your chance to qualify. So we're about to tell you who we drew from all of yesterday's entries. If it's you, call us back within 590 seconds to immediately win $100 to spend at Jiffy and to qualify for this week's mystery box, which we will open and for whom we'll announce the winner at 7:30 on Monday. This morning, we've drawn the name Michael King from Waterdown. Michael King from Waterdown. Your 590 seconds to call us starts now. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, or *590 on your cell. Everyone else, stay tuned for the next keyword during Good Show after 9 a.m., and you can check out sportsnet.ca/590 for contest details. Adnan Virk and former Blue Jay, now MLB player agent Jeff Fry in the 8 o'clock hour. Something to chew on coming up. We'll talk about Connor McDavid's house. Hoos, it's all the rage on social media right now. Lots of opinion out there on social media about Connor McDavid's house. Have you seen the photos?
It's caused a stir. I would like to say no, but I have.
I don't know why it's caused a stir.
Unfortunately, I have. It's just like, I don't get it.
You don't get what? The controversy over it? Or
like, who cares?
I care because it's given me some ideas. I mean, not that I'm ever going to make $10 million a year.
Buddy, you have a nice place. Your place is nice.
Oh, don't be like that.
I would trade.
I've never been invited.
I would run in flip-flops right now through the snow to switch places with yours. Buddy, come on. That's a sweet spot. Could use another couch or another lazy boy or something. You know, it's kind of brutal. I had to sit on the ground, but it was really nice.
There were some changes that were planned if the damn COVID didn't happen. But this is all, as you gave me the words. It's monochromatic. It's very modern. It's Spartan. A lot of black and white, like not a lot of color.
Not a lot of clutter either. It's very, very clean. I like that.
Well, those pictures are from when it was listed for sale. That's not his. He didn't go through and take pictures.
They're
staged photos, exactly. But I do know some people, like when I go into their house and I look at my house, it's like my house is a disaster. I clean it every 3 days. I organize. And some people's house, some friends of mine, it looks like their house is staged 24/7.
Yeah.
Like it looks like no one's living there.
Yeah.
What does the H stand for on the bed, though? I didn't understand that one. Everyone was talking about the H.
The H on the bed?
On the blanket.
The Hoilers. No?
Okay.
Is it a brand?
I don't know.
Maybe it stands for home. Home is where the heart is.
Okay. Does anybody out there know? Text us in.
What does the H on the bed sheet stand for?
It's probably the initial of the company who makes the bed sheets. I'm guessing. Throwing that out there.
I'm going to take a guess right now and say it's Hermes. You know the brand, the expensive one?
Maybe it stands
Hermes.
Maybe it stands for, you know, hockey.
Have you heard of Hermes?
Yes.
Is it Hermes?
Hermes. Or you don't really, the H is, it's Hermes.
What are you two talking
about? I just had a former player text me right now. He says it's Hermes.
Oh.
Grow up.
Well, now I feel like I should have heard of this company.
I don't know. I buy my sheets at the Bay. I don't know.
Speaking of which, that would make a good Christmas gift. If you get me a gift card to the Bay, Ziggy.
Maybe the H stands for Hudson's Bay.
There you go. Glad we figured that out.
I doubt that Connor McDavid's got a Hudson's Bay.
I do like the black. The black and white motif, though. That is because there's nothing worse for me. I know people are different, but there's nothing worse for me than walking into a room with bright colors. I moved into an apartment in Ottawa once, and the first thing I had to do was paint it because the walls were literally Oakland Athletics colors.
Oof.
Like the dark green and the bright.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
Dandelion yellow. Like the French's mustard yellow on the walls.
You got to go with neutral shades, man.
Holy crap. I need sunglasses to be in this living room. Neutral shades, black and white. That's a good look. Adnan Virk. We'll do the gift card cash conversation with him. Ziggy leads series 1-0. Thank you to Joshua Cloak. Yes, you want to jump in on something? Or
did you see the baseball presentation? Is it the KBO with what the trophy is?
I did not.
In Asia?
Would you like to discuss that? We'll talk about that on the other side.
Yes, we will.
Okay. And Adnan Virk will join us. And then Jeff Fry, former Blue Jay, now MLB player agent. Busy hour coming up. Just a little bit. Jeff Fry, former Toronto Blue Jay, played for the Jays in 2001. Now an MLB player agent at 8:30. So I checked out this Korean baseball trophy, the championship trophy, the KBO trophy.
Was I right? KBO, right?
Yeah, it's
KBO.
It's a sword, and
it's a massive sword.
Like it's got to be.
It's like it's. It looks heavy.
It looks like it'd be about six feet. Yeah,
6 feet. And the NC Dinos won it.
Yeah,
they beat the Doosan Bears 4-2 in Game 6 of the Korean Series.
Well, and they're all gathered around, and one of their players is holding this sword up. I mean, this is Game of Thrones style.
Oh yeah,
and it's a fancy sword.
Do you like it?
I do.
Do you like the sword over the trophy?
It's better than the piece of metal they hand out here in North America.
It is just a piece of metal.
Well, the sword's probably a piece of metal too, but it's a fancier version of it. Oh, this is fantastic.
Besides the Stanley Cup where you get your name on it, I think when you get your name on it, it's pretty cool. I think the sword's the next best trophy I've seen.
There would be a legitimate debate. If this was a trophy handed out in North America, there would be a lot of Twitter wars about what's better, the Stanley Cup or this KBO sword.
It would be talked about for sure.
All right, so Ziggy leads series 1-0. You're getting a bunch of texts that are pro gift cards over cash at Christmas. Our 7:30 guest, Joshua Cloak, agreed with you. I'm counting on my good friend, Adnan Virk, to side with me. And he is with us now. Adnan, settle the debate, or at least get me back in this showdown with Ziggy. Christmas time, doesn't matter if you're giving or if you're on the receiving end of the gift. What do you prefer, cash or a gift card, which is effectively cash, but is an instruction from the giver of where you must spend said cash?
It's cash every time.
Thank
you. Listen, we all know no one's smarter than mom.
Series tied 1-1.
My mom for years.
Oh my goodness.
I would get my mom gifts and I would get her flowers and I would get her gift cards. And eventually one year my mom said to me, "Hey, listen, you gotta stop with this." I said, "No, mom, you're my mom. I love you so much. I'll give you gifts every year." She goes, "No, no, no. I just want cash." And I said, "What?" She goes, I don't need the flowers. That's a waste. The gift cards, I don't necessarily go to those places. Jewelry, I have my own taste. If you just give me money, that'd be great. When my mom said that to me, I said, okay, from now on, I understand the best gift you can give somebody is money. That's it. Simple.
Right.
And so you're okay giving cash to like your buddy, like when you guys swap gifts or whoever, you're okay giving cash.
I'll give you an exact example, Ziggy. MLB Network, the researchers there are tremendous. And I was thinking the other day, I got to get these guys a gift. And I'm literally going through my head exactly what Scotty Mack just described. I went to like the local store and I'm seeing all these gift cards. I'm going, oh, well, they know me for the movie. Should I get them a Netflix card? Should I get them an AMC card? Well, no, nobody can go to the movies right now. AMC card doesn't make sense. How about Applebee's? Well, I don't know if these guys are Applebee's guys. And I say, you know what? I'm just going to give them cash. Just literally get a thank you card, put a 50 bucks in there. Here you go, guys. Thanks for a great year. That's it.
Man, you dropped that Applebee's reference I got to get back to the U.S. No. Applebee's, you can't go wrong at Applebee's. It's like Kelsey's up
you
here.
You can go wrong at Applebee's. Yes, you can.
Okay, but you're not going there for the lobster bisque. You're going there for the burger and the fries.
Okay.
And Ziggy, you know this. If you give the gift card, people think like you have a relationship. If you gave out a bunch of Kelsey's gift cards, people go, oh, Ziggy probably got those for free. He knows the owner of some Kelsey's. Like people often, they devalue the gift. If you give cash is cash.
I'm debating because we were talking about it. Last year I gave out wine to everyone, and now I'm wondering, like, do I do the LCBO gift card? Then they're just going to be like, well, we all got the same thing. It's like, well, what do you go out and buy everybody in the office something different? Like, how does that?
No.
I need to know what you can do. It's fine giving the same gift, correct?
Yeah, 100% on that one. Oh, my God. You start spending that much time getting each person a gift. As long as Dave Cadeau gets the best gift, followed by Scotty Mac, then I think you're okay.
Why in that order, Adnan? I think you got to flip them.
Yeah, sorry. I messed up the one, too.
Yeah. I mean, because I know he's going to get Dave a good gift, so get me something better. Dave doesn't have to know. I mean, God, we're all working from home these days. Nobody's actually seeing it. It's you know what
They're all lucky they're getting something. Right. I'll leave it at there.
All right, so we play a game. I think you've been involved in this called Diddly Pooer Playoffs, and it's in honor, of course, of Jim Morris Sr., who, by the way, it was 19 years ago today. 19 years ago today, we got the playoffs.
Playoffs? Rant.
We got the playoffs rant 19 years. It was November the 25th, 2001, which incidentally might have been his final season as a head coach in the NFL. Maybe it was one too many rants or whatever the case may be.
I thought it was longer ago, Scotty. That's crazy. It is such a great quote. It's used so much all the time. It might be arguably the greatest sports quote like ever, just in terms of just a short, succinct burst. I thought it was like 25 years ago. That's great. I love it.
It was 24 years ago last month because we celebrated that one where he did the We Didn't Do Diddly Poo. Right. As the coach of the Saints against the Carolina Panthers, who were a relatively new franchise at the time. So we're celebrating Jim Morris Sr.'s anniversaries here over the last month. So we play this game called Diddly Poo or Playoffs. So if you think the team is still a playoff team, then give us a playoffs. And if you think they're now Diddly Poo, give us a Diddly Poo. Last week, we were talking about the possibility of Buffalo and Miami playing for the division crown in the AFC East in week 17 when the Bills host the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. And some responses we got, if it was you, please forgive me for forgetting because it wouldn't only have been you. Multiple guests brought this up. People said, don't count out the New England Patriots. And then they went and lost a game that they should have won. I mean, let's be honest, right? So at four and six, can we definitively now say the New England Patriots are diddly poo, or do you still want to talk playoffs with the Patriots?
No, you were correct. It was not me that said it. I don't know what guest said it, but I'm going to say diddly poo.
Might have been Charles Davis. Then we have him on Friday.
He's great. Yeah, no, he's terrific. The win against the Ravens gave me some hope, right? At that point, they're 4-5, 23-17. You win on Sunday night. Terrible conditions. The rain. One of the great wins, I think, of Belichick's era. I swear to God, because I'm like, his offense has zero. And they're holding Lamar Jackson to under 200 yards passing. And that was one of those wins that you go, you know what? Maybe there's a fighting chance here. Bills come back down to earth. The Dolphins have been resurgent. But at that point, it was about a two-game swing. After that loss, in which they should have won, which you just referenced, I think it's diddly poo. I mean, there's too many other teams. Going into this weekend, guys, there were six teams that are 6-3. And just do the math, two of those teams are not going to make the playoffs. Like, that's just the way it is right now. So the Patriots, they aren't even close to that level right now. Diddly poo.
Okay, and one more. And Ziggy's ears will perk up here because he is the jinx. Hashtag Ravens flock. 6-4 on a short week, ravaged right now by the Rona. And as far as we know, Adnan, the game is going tomorrow night. Like the Ravens, their facility's closed. Now, if I'm the National Football League, I understand on my Thursday docket after Houston, Detroit, and alleged football team in Dallas at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. I'm counting on the Ravens and the Steelers to be the game that I think it will be on U.S. Thanksgiving. first of all, do you think this game goes down? And number two, given the situation the Ravens are facing at 6-4, are they diddly poor playoffs?
First off, I mean, we know as Canadians, whenever Americans ask me, what's Thanksgiving like in Canada? I'm like, what do you mean? We have the proper time, which is October. We celebrate the harvest, and then we watch football. Like, that's it. And so when I looked at the games coming up, I was like, oh, my God. We always know. We always complain. Why is it the Lions, Cowboys, whatever? Okay, that's just history. That's tradition. And you're right, Scotty. I looked at those games. I said, all right. Like, I told my wife and kids, okay, we don't really need to make plans because those games are terrible. The one game to absolutely watch is Steelers-Ravens. And I remember catching wind of this yesterday, as we all did, when you started hearing about all the Ravens who had tested positive. I said, well, there's no way this game happens. Think about Major League Baseball, guys. One guy would test positive. Okay, nobody's playing for 5 days. They would shut down the entire place, contact tracing, et cetera. Here with football, we are seeing, and this isn't surprising, exactly where their hearts are. I'm like, oh, 9 guys? I think we're still good. Like, we'll get it down to a 35-man roster. No problem. The games are what matter. It's a huge game in primetime, et cetera. I think the game happens. I don't necessarily think it should. I think the Ravens are in trouble anyways. And as I said, there are 6 teams, 6-3 going in. The Ravens have now lost 2 straight. They've lost 3 of 4. If they lose this game, they're definitely diddly poo. Right now, oh God, I'll still say playoffs right now, but it is trending playoffs? To diddly poo. It is trending to diddly poo.
So Tua gets pulled for Fitzpatrick on Sunday in the fourth. They're now 6-4 on the season. Is this I don't mind for a young, good player in any sport. I don't mind if a guy gets benched or he has to sit out a game and watch from the rafters, as they say. Do you think his confidence is going to be down and his play will decline, or do you think this is good for him? Where a little reset, chance to watch from the sideline, because he is said to start in their next game.
Yeah, I think 2 keys here, Ziggy. One is that Flores made it very clear, the head coach, that listen, he's our starter moving forward. He wasn't playing well. I was looking for a jump start. Every game matters. That's why we went with Fitzmagic. But I think your overarching point is key, which is that young guys are fragile, man. Everyone just thinks everyone's got a load of confidence. You come in with superpowers. Like, I think Tua Tagovailoa's got a healthy ego, as all young athletes would have. But at the same time, he's had significant injuries. He just is getting his feet wet as a starter, and all of a sudden gets the rug pulled out from under it. But I think Brian Flores is a smart enough coach to at least know his mental makeup and say, okay, this is not the kind of move that's going to shatter this guy's confidence. And by the way, if it did, I mean, shame on Tua. I mean, you're a professional athlete at this point, man. You know what happens. This is a results-based business. If you're not playing well, that's what happens. And I'm sure there are those in the Dolphins organization would say, well, I don't know. You don't want to mess with his psyche. I'm like, no, man, toughen it up. I always think about when someone gives you a compliment, there's 2 things that happen. Either one, and I think this happens with the 3 of us, you get more enthusiastic. You work harder, right? Hey, great job today. Okay, I'm going to do an even better job tomorrow. And some people get complacent. Hey, great job. Go, all right, cool. I'm just going to put my feet up so far. I guess I'm doing a great job. It's the same thing with criticism. If you get benched, a party either sulks and pouts and says, that's not fair. I didn't deserve that. Or, which I think Tua is going to do, is work harder and play better. And I do think, Ziggy, here's the key, though. I don't think if Tua struggles again, I don't think Flores gives him a hook again, because then it gets concerning. You go, wait, dude, You just gave me the ball. All of a sudden, I'm struggling. You hooked me once. Fine. You got my attention. Are we going to do this every game? Like, if I'm the starter, I need that stability. I need you to have that confidence in me. So I think that one was one of those, hey, do I have your attention? Now Tua has his attention. Now he's going to play better.
And Ann Verk is with us from MLB Network, NHL Network. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on the baseball front. And this is not the first time I'm sure you've had this conversation, Adnan, and not the first time I've asked the question, but we've never talked about it, so I'm interested in your perspective, not just your own experience, but from the people you talk to. You watch the NBA, just grab the headlines, and there's player movement, there is rumors of even more significant player movement, James Harden, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and they pack this all into a weekend, stretch it maybe out over a week. When did the Dodgers win the World Series? I can't even remember the date. It was about a month ago. And free agency starts just a few days after that. Charlie Morton signs a 1-year contract with Atlanta, and everybody's like, wow, a move got made. JT Realmuto, George Springer, guys like that are still out there on the market. I was in Clearwater, Florida on March the 3rd of 2019 when Bryce Harper arrived, having signed with the Phillies after a long offseason, two and a half weeks into spring training. why does baseball take forever to get its players, its free agent players locked in? And what can be done to fix it?
Yeah, it's happened the last couple of years, right? Remember 2 years ago, there was talk, like the players were very frustrated and said, okay, listen, no one's getting deals, especially that middle class was getting squeezed. And Harper, they weren't even sure if he's going to get his money. And of course, eventually, of course he gets his money. So does Machado. Top end guys will get taken care of. As you mentioned for this year, Bauer, Real Muto, Lindor, wherever he goes, will obviously get a big contract. Springer. But the rest of the guys are going to get squeezed. Like Marcell Ozuna is a good example. This guy had a one-year deal at Atlanta. He was excellent. But we're not sure if the Universal DH is coming back. And he's not very good in the field. So before he'd say, wait, you're like a top seven MVP finish in 2020. You should be getting a three-year, you know, $40 million deal. Now it's like, probably just a one-year deal. And we've seen so far a lot of one-year deals. You mentioned Morton. Look at Smiley, who the Braves just signed. You know, Clevinger got a two-year deal with the Padres, but 1 year he's missing for Tommy John. So you've seen already the last couple of years, the owners becoming more skittish about, you know, greater investments in long-term deals with guys. And of course, we're coming off the pandemic in which the league lost $3 billion. I think teams are even more cautious about who to spend their money to. But it's interesting to make that point of the NBA, because I said, man, NBA's getting headlines all over the place. Who's signed here? Who's signed there? But I don't think that's great for the sport. And I'll tell you why. And Barkley made this point before. He was like, listen, there's something to be said for when you see a guy stick with a team and he finally is overcome that hump. And sometimes it's incredibly frustrating if you're a Knicks fan and Patrick Ewing doesn't. But in the case of the Dodgers, if Clayton Kershaw had just left when he first could have, the story wouldn't have been nearly as good if he'd won a World Series elsewhere. But he stuck with the Dodgers. He was able to overcome that adversity. And that's why it's such a heartwarming moment when Dave Roberts is hugging him on the field and you can see him saying in slow motion, I'm so proud of you. So I do think the NBA offseason is very exciting because of all the movement. But I don't think their regular season is as compelling because, you know, it takes you a while, first of all, to get adjusted. Hey, where'd this guy go? Is he still good? Oh, my God. Wait, he got $100 million. Is he still any good? Oh, it's just the market is. Okay. So I'm not crazy about that aspect of it as much as I do agree with you. The flurry of moves is exciting. So for baseball, it's more of a slow play. I think eventually guys get paid. But it's been a trend in that direction. And I don't think, Scotty, they think it's an issue. And that's the biggest thing. I think with pace of play, everybody within the game would agree, hey, this is a problem. But if you said, hey, do you think free agency takes too long? Why is it such a crawl? They go, meh, don't think it's a huge deal. We just like to stretch it out. And you go, okay. In the past, winter meetings, first weekend of December, you'd see activity there. This year, that's going to be virtual, so it's not going to be the same. So I think we're going to go into the new year before a lot of these guys get signed.
There are four certainties in life, Adnan. Death, taxes, turkey at U.S. Thanksgiving, and at this time of year, the Blue Jays being linked to everybody and their dog. So, you know, and you're a Toronto guy, so you know this, right? Yeah. Like, so JT Realmuto, George Springer, this guy, that guy, the other guy, there are only nine spots on the field at any one time, yet it feels like Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins are being legitimately aggressive, and it doesn't mean that they're going to land any of these big fish, even one of these big fish. What do you make of the rumors surrounding the Jays? Are the agents using the Jays as that shiny distractive object out there? Hey, you know, Toronto's in the mix, drive up the price. Or is Toronto a legit player?
I think they're a legit player. And I talked to Jim Bowden, used to work with him at ESPN, the former Reds GM, former Nationals GM. And he's got good contacts with the Toronto organization. And we did 3 hours of MLB Network Radio on Sunday. And I said to him, hey, seriously, like, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. Come on, tell me what's actually the truth. And he goes, here's the biggest thing for the Blue Jays. Their focus, and they've said this, is run prevention. So be that as it may, Trevor Bauer would be their number one target. If run prevention means less runs, well, let's get the best starting pitcher available. And I asked Tom Verducci, by the way, yesterday of Sports Illustrated, Fox Sports. I said, you know, you mentioned this preponderance of one-year deals, and Bauer has said he wants a one-year deal. Is he getting a one-year deal? And Tom said, no, I don't think so. I think at the end of the day, he's going to get multi-years. Even if he says he wants a one-year deal, his agent, the union, et cetera, will say, no, 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 you take the most money you can. It's going to be a multi-year deal. But back to Jim. He said run prevention is the key for the Jays. That means Bauer makes the most sense, which close behind means Lindor because, again, run prevention he can do. He's so great defensively. Nolan Arenado, Jim said to me, is going to be a Dodger by Christmas. He said, book it. The Dodgers want a right-handed bat, preferably third base, to let Justin Turner walk. You upgrade very sizably with Arenado, and they've got the prospects to move. He said, but, you know, don't forget the Jays could make a move. Vladdy Jr. does not want to play third base, even though he's dropped 40 pounds. Congrats to him. He'd rather be at first base. So the Jays could get Arenado. They could make a move for Lindor. Obviously move Bo Bichette over at that point. But Bauer's the main one. I think pitching is the one that they really want, and you add him with Ryu, and obviously already re-signed Robbie Ray. You got Pearson. He's not going to throw 200 innings, obviously, but 130, 140, you go from there. So I think in this case, the rumors are actually legit.
I got an NBA one for you. Atlanta Hawks sign Bogdanovich. Sacramento declines to match the offer by Atlanta. Is this more Bogdanovich doesn't want to go and play with Giannis, or does he think that Giannis is going to leave and why am I going to go to Milwaukee and I'm going to be there by myself?
I think it's the latter. I think sometimes guys look at it and say, okay, what's the most money I can find? I mean, listen, I think for Atlanta, first of all, Travis Schlenk, the GM, this is an overpay on Bogdanovich, right? And this is what happens when it comes to free agency. I mean, they are reshaping this team now and saying, okay, we've got Trae Young. We've got Danilo Gallinari now. Gallinari got 3 years, $61.5 million. You know, small investment on Rondo, 2 years, $15 million. Chris Dunn, Solomon Hill. So grab a few of those guys. But listen, he was the subject of a league probe into whether tampering might have occurred in talks with Sacramento and Milwaukee. He's 28 years of age. He's a good player with more upside on the way. So I think first and foremost, Ziggy, I think he said, you know what, Atlanta gave me a ton of money. I mean, $18 million a year, sure. And they're trying to build something here, like I said, with Trae Young, Gallinari. But the Milwaukee thing could be a part of it. I mean, these guys talk more than anyone thinks. And sometimes they will let on more than they should. But I think it was just he grabbed the deal that was the best deal. But the honest thing, there could be something to that. Absolutely.
Well, without question, if I have any sense that Giannis is leaving Milwaukee, I am not moving there intentionally. Like, right. Sorry, Milwaukee.
I don't mind Milwaukee. I'm telling you, it's a sleeper city.
The postcards of Milwaukee are not the photos for those are not taken in January. I can tell you that. Enjoy Thanksgiving in your adopted country, Mr. Virk, and we'll do it again next Wednesday. Always look forward to it.
Of course, boys. Great job. And Scotty Mack, you were awfully tough on Carson Wentz, but I completely agree with you. I saw your tweets and I was tweeting along with you. God, that was a miserable game.
Well, they got a ton of cake invested in him, though. I just don't know if you can move on from him. You have to have the viable alternative. That's the issue, right? You got to have another guy.
Yeah, so, and I don't like the fact that Doug is so resistant to trying out Jalen Hurts. Like, maybe he's not the answer. He probably isn't the answer. But if the Dolphins can bench Tua, surely the Eagles can bench Carson Wentz. Why not against the Seahawks? Give Jalen Hurts a shot. Let's go.
How fast they seem to fall sometimes. Thanks, pal. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, boys. Take care.
And Ed Virk of the MLB Network, the NHL Network, and he co-hosts the GM Shuffle podcast with former NFL exec Michael Lombardi. Jeff Fry has been on the show before, a former Blue Jay, hit for the cycle for the 2001 Blue Jays, a team managed by Buck Martinez. He is now an MLB player agent. We'll discuss the slow developing market. It's now an annual thing in baseball, and talk about the Blue Jays as a legitimate player for some of the game's biggest free agents as we approach December. Jeff Fry, next. This is how neurotic I am, Ziggy, when you're not back on FaceTime. When the bumper music hits, I'm like, where'd he go? Is he coming back?
What's he doing? I'm charging my phone.
Is he making a sheep kefir drink? Is he boiling water for some tea? Is he coming back?
I do have the green tea going. I'm on a supplement thing going right now. I got a lot of supplements going.
Oh, do you?
Like, I take a break. So I do all these, like, herbal stuff and vitamins and supplements, but I don't go on them all the time. I go on these, like, little binges. So I'll do them for 2-3 weeks, maybe a month, and then I take a month or two off. You know, I don't want to get used to them. So, yeah.
What are these supplements? You're going to be all jacked? Or what's the deal?
Well,
these are the herbal stuff.
Health stuff. You know, I've got some, you know, well, I go with the green tea in the morning, and then I got some chlorophyll I put in water. I got some D3,
what are you,
vitamin
a tree?
D. I got some collagen going right now.
Holy crap.
You got to get your collagen in.
Okay. All
How
right.
How do you think I got this? Yeah, nice skin. I don't think it has anything to do with collagen. But it's the first thing I think of when I hear collagen.
Absolutely. You start talking about chlorophyll, I think you're going to turn green on me. Something like that. All right. He is a former Toronto Blue Jay. Hit for the cycle with the 2001 team. He is now a Major League Baseball player agent. We've had him on the show before and always appreciate his perspective. Jeff Fry is with us. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. How are y'all doing?
We're doing well. We're having a conversation with our buddy Adnan Virk in the last segment, and this is a question that is answered typically in a handful of ways, but I've never felt like I've gotten a satisfactory answer. Baseball's off-season drags like no other in the Big Four. You're a player agent. You live it. You have a sense of the market. Why does it take teams forever to sign available, even top-end free agent players through the winter?
Because they don't know how much money they have to pay for them. that's the bottom line. I mean, if they knew what, you know, if there was someone out there that could tell us exactly what every player was worth, I think they'd sign them right away. But so many teams are, you know, obviously trying to sign these guys for exactly what their value is. And sometimes it takes a while for that market to develop and comparable players sign. So nobody wants to overpay for guys. So I think that's why it takes so long.
All right. Well, what I guess my reaction or response to that would be, it would be no different in the NBA, right? It would be no different in the NFL or the NHL. And the free agency periods open up, and the next thing you know, most guys are scooped up within a few days. So what makes it harder to ascertain a Major League Baseball player's value?
Well, I think in the NBA, I mean, there's defined stars. We know guys that are, you know, everybody knows that James Harden is one of the best players in the NBA. So he's already established his market. And you know, I was talking to a friend about that the other day that, you know, I said, did you hear that James Harden turned down $50 million to stay with Houston? I was like, I wonder what Michael Jordan made in his career. We went back and researched. Michael Jordan made about $96 million in his entire career. And he made 63 of those 90 something million the last two seasons of his career. So he made $30 million the first 15 seasons of his career. And James Harden is turning down $50 million for one season to stay in Houston.
As an agent, when you're talking to players on where to go, how much discussion is talked about on whether they're a big market team or small market team? And do players want more money if they go to a market that's maybe not as big as, say, you know, the Red Sox or the Yankees or the Dodgers?
The players want as much money as they can get no matter where they go. But honestly, a lot of more of discussion is about the cities and if they want to play in, you know, San Diego versus Philadelphia. It's just, you know, a lot of the guys are concerned about bringing their families to certain places in the country and as far as, you know, putting their kids in school and things like that. So, and the weather plays a factor too. But you know, there are certain desirable cities around the country that players would rather go to. I mean, can't deny that.
With Jeff Fry. So give us the goods then, Jeff, your experience, the discussions surrounding Toronto. Obviously, there's an extra layer with crossing the border and customs, and there may even be an extra layer now, given the uncertainty with COVID, whether the Blue Jays will be able to begin the 2021 season in Toronto, having played the shortened season last year in Buffalo. Is there concern about the customs, etc., and how do you respond to that, given that you yourself had experience with it, playing with the Blue Jays in 2001?
Well, first of all, customs is not an issue at all. The biggest issue with going to Toronto was taxes. And I'll just tell you, because I had a particular client who went to Toronto, and I also played in Toronto, so the tax was basically you're going to pay 10% more taxes to play in Toronto. but my experience in Toronto, I love Toronto. And the player that I represented loved Toronto. And as a visiting player, we all loved going to Toronto. You know, now is a different dynamic, obviously, with the COVID and what happened last year. And I don't think we really will know for a few months what's going to happen. I know players don't want to play in Buffalo as their big league season. I can tell you that. Although I love playing in Buffalo when it was the AAA team for the Pittsburgh Pirates, Buffalo was the best minor league city, the minor league stadium they're going. But I know players, major league players, don't want to play in a AAA stadium for the entirety of the season, and hopefully that won't be the case next year.
Maybe the best way to describe it is the best minor league city is not as good as the worst major league city, right? There's still a rung on the ladder. Jeff Fry is our guest, former Toronto Blue Jay, now an MLB player agent. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
So I got to hear the story how you got on TikTok and started doing the hitting videos, because apparently you're getting 1 million views per video. What's the story behind this?
Well, I'm not on TikTok, to be honest. It's the crazy story. This guy messages me and says, hey, would you be interested in me interviewing you? And I was like, sure. I mean, and he goes, I write for Forbes magazine. I was like, well, now I'm definitely interested. You know, I've had a lot of these requests. He goes, so when I finally talked to him, he says, so I put one of your videos on TikTok, and within 2 days it had 1.4 million views, and I had 3,000 new followers on TikTok. And he goes, and I looked at some of the comments that were on TikTok, and a lot of people were criticizing you and going after you. So it's like, I have to talk to this guy. And so we talked about, you know, the whole She Gone movement and, you know, and then how it started and all that. And so he writes an article in Forbes magazine about that. But I'm not on TikTok, and I will never be on TikTok.
No, because I think it's an interesting story, because I feel like, you know, a lot of former ball players are, you know, going and doing a lot of hitting videos, and there's a lot of stuff out there, and there's a lot of impressionable young players that probably watch a lot of these videos that yourself and other players are putting on, and how much that really affects, you know, what some players develop. Is it something you want to get into?
No, I've been doing it on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and things like that. It's a lot of what I'm doing is just poking fun at what some of the crazy things being taught to kids that, in my opinion, is not useful to kids and probably more harmful. And so I'm basically trying to expose a lot of people that are out there getting rich, teaching kids nonsense. And the She Gone movement has really grown. When I first did it, the first video I posted, I think I had 500 followers on Twitter, and I'm now getting close to 10,000. So it's growing. People are appreciating the fact that, you know, a former major leaguer is out there exposing people that are taking advantage of kids and parents. And, I mean, I don't know where it's headed, but it's definitely on the upswing.
With Jeff Fry. So give us an example or two of things being taught to kids that you've got no time for.
Oh, the swing it up, the launch angle thing. You know, these kids are hitting the ball, and when it hits the top of the cage, the coach is going, "Yeah, baby, good job." You know, and it's like, well, you know, that's okay if Carlos Delgado and Raul Mondesi and some superstars that had incredible power hit fly balls, because they have a good chance of hitting it out of the ballpark. But when Jeff Fries of the world and the Craig Graybecks and Joey Coras of the world are hitting balls in the air, they're going back to the dugout because it's a can of corn to center fielder. And it's not a cookie cutter system where everybody swings the same way. The game's been played for too long. We've seen too many different styles of swings for people to be selling that this is the only way to be successful these days.
The She Gone thing's interesting to me because when I go golfing with my buddies and I put one that's nowhere near the green or I slash one in the forests, they say She Gone. And is that from you? So should I be mad at you? Because I can't stand it. I'm so mad.
He hears it a lot,
it's traveled,
Jeff.
It's travel. Man, quit slicing somebody. No, I can fix that for you. I can fix that. And actually, I was telling a friend the other day, all you have to do is put a little Vaseline on your club face, and it takes the spin off, and the ball will go straight. I'm telling you. It's against the rules, but... Hey, you know, these guys are talking smack, so I think it's within your right to cheat a little bit.
I was playing in a member guest golf tournament, and I was like, all the pressure was on. It was sudden death, and I absolutely pull a tee shot on the par three, and there's 100 people person gallery, and all of a sudden it was She Gone, and I was like so boiled. So boiled, but now I know. Okay,
maybe
thank
you. Maybe that's a new version of four.
Yeah.
She Gone.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You know, what's funny is I've played in a few member guests, and I know that, at least for me, that I'm sitting over there, you know, a 3-foot putt for par, and three people just watching it, and, you know, not a gallery, and I'm shaking in my boots, and I'm like, step away. I'm like, what is wrong with you? I mean, you weren't nervous facing Roger Clemens in Yankee Stadium, but a 3-foot putt for par and a member guest, it really doesn't really matter, and I'm shaking in my boots.
I'm nervous. I've only been nervous in two sporting events. One is I'm with you. The member guests that I've been a part of when they go to a sudden death or when everyone watches, like usually you do an alternate shot and everybody comes out to watch. Or throwing out a first pitch at a major league game. Those are by far, I've never been more nervous. Anything in a hockey game, no issues. Not once have I been like kind of nervous going on a breakaway or big draw, never. But like throwing out a first pitch or a shot at a member guest, I don't know what it is.
Well, the thing with the first pitch is we've seen some pretty bad fails over the years. I'm sure no matter how nervous you are, you won't be that bad.
Well, I was worried about, because I know when people go and do it, a lot of times they chuck them in the dirt because they're not used to being on the mound, and your kind of forward motion takes you down, right? So that's why people throw it down a lot. So I'm like, hey, can't hit the dirt or this is going to end up on, you know, a highlight reel tomorrow. It has to be in the air. If it's not a strike, fine, but I've just pretty much lobbed one in because I was so terrified to be just get chirped next day in the room.
Imagine the guy making his major league debut the first time he steps on the mound, feeling that exact way. That's how I felt my first at bat in the big leagues. I was shaking so terribly in the batter's box that thank goodness I walked on four pitches that weren't even close. But I was like, I'm not sure if I'd have been able to swing. I was so nervous.
Who was the first pitcher you faced? Who'd you face in your first at bat? Do you remember?
A guy named Scott. Oh yeah, Scott Scudder from the Cleveland Indians.
That is a deep dive, Scott Scudder. Yeah. I remember that name. It's hard to forget once you hear it again. Scott Scudder. Yeah.
Most people probably don't remember that time that Scott Scudder faced Jeff Fry. Let's be honest.
Probably not, but you know what? There is a record of it somewhere on Baseball Reference, no question. Jeff, before we get you out of here, when do you think, I mean, I know Charlie Morton signed a one-year deal with Atlanta yesterday. When do you think we start getting decent movement on the market here, get some free agents signed?
Probably in December, the middle of December. I know, you know, this year we're not having the winter meetings for the first time and since I've been an agent. So I don't usually with the winter meetings were the time when agents and teams got together. So it's going to be definitely different this year. I would say middle to the end of December would be my guess.
Enjoyed the chat this morning and we'll certainly reach out again. It was a lot of fun. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, fellas. Y'all have a good day.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving. Jeff Fry, former Toronto Blue Jay.
She gone.
Now MLB player agent, She Gone instead of four. And another person, these are clips you got to send to Andrew Peters. No love for Buffalo.
You know, yeah. the she gone, I think it was actually a he gone. It was some baseball play-by-play that was the, I don't know if you remember the original. Do you remember the original he gone?
Or, he gone, like that sounds like a Hawk Harrelson.
Who was it?
That sounds
though?
Like a Hawk Harrelson Chicago White Sox. You can put it on the
right.
board. Yes,
you're right.
Or he gone.
Yeah, yeah, that's the original.
That's a Hawk
okay,
Harrelson.
Then it went to she gone, and I was just like, I hate hearing it when I'm golfing. Like, it's funny. Like, it gets a lot of laughs, but if you're shank one, it's like
just
painful
wait.
When people are like, she gone.
Just you know? Wait for Make Scotty Golf Again, the project of 2021. The first time you shank one, and I'm out there with you, I'm going to be
oh,
a
yeah.
she gone.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be a she gone. Hugh gets into studio, and I'm being told that they've got something on me. We'll hear what that is next. All right, so these guys behind the board are amused. This is Silent Vic, who, by the way, has been at work the last 2 days but hasn't done a damn thing. I would like to point that out. And he's off yeah. tomorrow and Friday.
Good.
Sits in his jacket with his hat down, yeah. the chair's back, sleeping for sure.
And Hayden's back
Santos
there.
Santos is doing everything. Hayden's probably doing more stuff now.
Well, Hayden's picking apart our flaws. That's what he's doing. And then Santos is there just being like, hey, Vic, stop looking over
Vic's
my shoulder.
Vic's on holiday for the rest of the week.
Well, he's been on holiday all week. So this
he's
is
actually, yeah.
This is apparently what happened during our conversation with Adnan Virk. that's apparently,
that was
I laughed at something Adnan Virk said. Play that again. And now compare
so
this.
It's a hyena.
Compare
a hyena.
Compare that to the laugh I gave you, apparently, when you told a somewhat funny joke a few weeks ago. Listen
yeah,
to laugh.
Both...
laugh.
What do you prefer, one or two?
Laugh number one. Laugh number two. What the hell is going on?
They're both equally
It's a hyena.
Bad.
So what did you sound like?
I'm going to be scared to make a noise for the rest of ever on this show. Like it's,
I mean, you could break down everyone's laugh and make fun of it. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah, but those are two. Those laughs are not the same.
They're at either end of the extreme.
They could be fake yeah. laughs.
No, there's no fake laughs.
Could be
show.
Outed for
every,
fake
every laugh
laughs.
Is genuine on this show.
The need to make noise. I gotta watch myself there. Don't have to fill the dead air with bad sounds. Jeez. Three NFL games tomorrow. Little Leap, Little Hockey Central at 8:30. We'll be all over it. Back at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Good shows coming up. Enjoy your hump day.
She gone. If you were.